everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, pushing all the right buttons for us. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October the 20th, 2014. Coming off a lovely weekend, we are here with you live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're also live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we have our podcasts and the complete show archive available for you anytime at buckmastershow.com. We'll begin, as we do each Monday afternoon, with our Monday political face-off. At 12:30, we continue with our series, trying to introduce you to as many of the candidates for state and federal office as possible. Today, we will meet Rosanna Gabaldone, Democrat state representative in District Number 2. Representative Gabaldone is in a three-way race for two seats in the Arizona House of Representatives. Then we'll close out the show with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. We'll be discussing Common Core, which has become a key centerpiece in this year's statewide elections. The Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. And every Monday, we do begin with our Monday political face-off. Bruce Ash is here. Mr. Ash is in his third four-year term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He also has a high-ranking position. I believe he is chair of the NRC Rules Committee. Is that right, Bruce?
RNC, Standing Committee on Rules.
Oh, RNC. I'm sorry there. But that's a big title for you and a lot of responsibility as well. Attorney Paul Eckerstrom is with us. Mr. Eckerstrom, longtime Democrat Party activist and former state and local Democrat Party chair. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Gentlemen, how are you today? Bruce, how'd it go this weekend?
Just dandy. I was spending time with a friend of mine who's ill up in Denver, Colorado, and watched football from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and hung out with my buddy and kept him company. It was nice reminiscing with him.
And Paul?
Yeah, I just a week ago got back from New York City on a fun vacation with my kids and my mom, and just digging out from all the backlog at work.
Yeah. And, of course, we want to thank Dan Scheer for sitting in for me on Friday here on the Buckmaster Show while I was able to take my wife over to SoCal and enjoyed a beautiful couple of days over in Southern California. And Bruce, you for sure know how lovely that area is.
Yeah, it sure is. It's still nothing really quite compares with Southern Arizona, but it sure is nice to get away every so often.
And we were right in the middle of watching the Cardinals game yesterday when the power went out in the Central Foothills. Apparently there had been an accident at River and Hacienda shortly before 3 o'clock, and TEP finally got the power on just as all the games were over by about 6 o'clock, but at least we did get the power back.
Boy, Cardinals are 5-1, doing great. They looked terrific yesterday against kind of a hapless Oakland team, but they played a good game, and I really like what they're doing so far.
Democrats currently control the Senate 55-45. There are two independents who caucus with the Democrats, so the Republicans need a net gain of 6 seats to win outright and control the chamber. And now if it's a 50-50 tie, Vice President Biden would break the deadlock. Bruce Ash, the New York Times wrote today that early voting really offers no proof, it says the headline, that Democrats have improved the turnout effort. Do we have any early snapshot of how some of these tight Senate races may be going with early voting?
Well, not as much on early voting. There are a number of polls independent of the campaigns, which are very active at this time, doing daily tracking. And we see in Colorado where Cory Gardner has led Mark Udall for the better part of the last 6 weeks or so and appears to be picking up steam. He was rated a 57% chance to beat Udall, who, by the way, referred to himself as brain dead the other day in an interview when he thought he wasn't on the air. And now that race is up to a 69%. I was in Colorado over the weekend, and it was interesting. I did not see one Udall yard sign anywhere in Denver. And you know, that generally is a sign of voter enthusiasm or voter apathy. Not one sign for Mark Udall in Colorado. And Cory Gardner has been able to raise a lot more money than Udall, particularly in this last period of time. Udall has placed most all of his money at this time.
What do you think, Buzz? It's such a important election for the Democrats. They really need to improve that early voting.
Yeah, and Mark Udall, you know, of course, is the son of Mo Udall, and I worked for Mo for years here. And I, you know, Mark has got a tough race because Cory Gardner is a fairly charismatic candidate in his own right. And it's a Republican year, and it's an off year in the presidential race, and it's the third second term for a Democratic president. It's all the historical data says it's not going to be a very good Democratic year. However, Mark's saving grace may be the fact that Colorado has gone to all mail-in balloting this year, and that may very well up the turnout enough, especially among Hispanics in Colorado and among Democrats who are normally low turnout voters in these off years, that he may still survive. So we'll see. It's an interesting race. It's going to be a tough year for Democrats generally because of all of those things. But there still is a chance, given the fact that the Republicans in Georgia may lose that Senate race. Sam Nunn's daughter is doing very well for the Democrats there.
The only chance that exists in Georgia is that there will be a runoff on January 6th. And in a one-on-one runoff between Nunn and Perdue, Perdue probably is the victor there, according to most every poll today, by anywhere between 5 and 7 points.
Yeah, well, Perdue recently made some mistakes in terms of things he said about when he was a businessman laying off people and things like that nature. And I don't think it sits well with working folks. So we'll see about that. My prediction is the best the Democrats can hope for is a 50-50 split with Biden breaking a tie in this election cycle. But there's the saving grace about all this is we were in a position of defending a lot of seats that were in Republican states this go-round. And next go-round in 2016 when it's a presidential year and Democrats turn out in higher numbers, it's a little bit reversed on the Republicans. And so we may see a switch back and forth within a two-year period here in terms of control of the Senate. We'll see.
Well, as of today, three models give Republicans a better than 75% chance of winning six Democrat seats. And those seats are Alaska, Arkansas, where Tom Cotton has run a great race, Louisiana, where Senator Landrieu is really got a real voter fatigue problem, Montana, South Dakota, and West Virginia. If we win only three and hold Georgia, Republicans have the majority with or without Colorado.
All right, 12:13 here on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. The House Democrats are fighting to hold on to nine districts that Romney won in 2012 in the election. Two of those are here in Southern Arizona, District 1 and District Number 2. So, Paul, if it turns out to be a big Republican year, that could really spell trouble for Congresswoman Kirkpatrick and Congressman Barber.
Yeah, the funny thing is, and I don't know how to explain this, it seems like whenever there's a national trend one way, Arizona bucks it. It's kind of like we're just independent-minded enough to do that. Like in 2002, Democrats did fairly well when nationally the Republicans were doing great. Even in 2010, when it was a real wave election for the Republicans, the Democrats did better than expected in the state. Gabby Giffords held on to her seat. Everything I've heard and understand about the polling is that Ron Barber's starting to open up a gap. And may very well win this when I didn't expect him to, frankly, at the beginning of this whole election cycle.
And you had said on this program that you did not expect him to win.
No, but he's run a really good campaign and been on the offensive. I think that's important for Democrats to understand. That's the way you win races. And Ron's done a good job with that. And I also think, you know, he's showed that he's independent enough from Democratic Party politics that he's holding on to independence in that race, and I think he's going to win it. The other Ann Kirkpatrick, again, I think, again, seems to be holding her own and maybe even opening up a gap. And people don't understand, she's very popular among the Navajo tribe as well as the Apache nation.
White Mountain Apache. She speaks, actually.
Yeah, she's from Apache County.
Speaks Apache.
And so one of the things people don't understand is there is a heavily contested race in the Navajo Nation for president of the nation. And because of that, turnout might be much better in the Navajo reservation than people realize. And I think that means that I think Ann's going to hold her seat as well.
What do you think, Bruce, on those two races?
I saw the ad last night that showed Ron Barber on the border with a former border agent. He almost looks like Michael Dukakis did in 1988 with his head sticking out of the tank.
I mean, with a helmet on.
He just looked ridiculous, looking like a tough guy on the border. It was almost laughable. Nobody believes that Ron Barber is independent. He's been given latitude by Nancy Pelosi to take show votes, to demonstrate in votes that really did not have any substance, that he is independent. This is what the Democrats do, and frankly, Republicans do also, headed into an election where they know that there's going to be a tough, contentious battle. In the case of Ann Kirkpatrick, it's hard to believe that Navajos and Apaches would vote for her when she has voted for and supports and openly endorses all of the regulations that the EPA is imposing upon that area of our state and New Mexico that impact hundreds and thousands of jobs up there and millions of dollars of revenue going to those tribes.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Ed, let's take the break on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out in my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The Five Star Technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The car's bubbling over again.
Well, I can fix that.
No, Fester, we're going to take it to Perfection Auto Works. We want it fixed right the first time.
Yeah, Fester, don't you remember the last time you tuned up the car?
Yeah.
And the brake job you did?
Yeah.
Yes, my good man. We're taking the car to Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. Now, where are my keys?
You rang?
thank you, Thing.
Perfection Auto Works, 1046 North Beverly at Speedway, two blocks west of Craycroft, since 1994. 323-8650. Or visit our website at perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
To the Monday Political Face-Off, Bruce Ash is here and Paul Ackerstrom. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge in the Copenhagen Center, and they're at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bruce, you have said before that the strategy, the Democrat strategy, pretty much uniform across the country is based on deception.
It is. It tries to, number one, avoid the fact that a lot of these incumbents voted over 90% for everything that the president and his crew has suggested, from Obamacare to all of the other goofy regulations and taxes and deficits and all that. Look, 64% of Americans, this is a New York Times poll, this isn't a Bruce Ash poll, 64% of Americans today, right now, say that America is out of control. The problems that seem to be happening with an alarmingly more increasing regularity. The latest with Ebola proves again the lack of ability for the federal government to handle a major crisis when it occurs.
Wow. You know, one of the things that really bothers me, this whole thing about President Obama's bungled Ebola. Nobody's bungled. He's the only person in the world that's actually said we need to do something about Ebola.
And what's he done?
He's sending over help to stop its source in West Africa.
And 3,000, right?
Yeah,
no, they're not.
I mean, the other thing
about
is
300.
You know, I'm tired of people criticizing President Obama for the situation in the Middle East. That situation was created by the George Bush administration, and it destabilized the region. And the deal with ISIS, the last thing we should be doing is sending troops on the ground there. The last thing we should be doing is frankly get in the middle of that. That is a 2,000-year war between a religious war between Sunnis and Shia. You know what?
maybe the Sunnis and the Shia should fight it out instead of us getting involved in the middle of that. And I think he's doing the right thing by taking measured steps to try to keep things more stable.
So you're saying the president's getting a terrible bad rap.
Yeah, and I'm tired of this criticism that everything in the federal government has gone wrong. I mean, he's even being criticized for the Secret Service, who's supposed to be protecting him. And I'm sitting there going, well, why isn't the Secret Service protecting him?
Well, there may be reasons that have nothing to do with President Obama.
All right, Paul.
Blood pressure's up to about 220 over 140 right now. Let's take the Secret Service for example. The Secret Service, part of the problem that they find themselves in today is because the president on the Secret Service has played politics the way he's playing on almost everything that he does. And in fact, his appointee was a political appointment, not really a strong administrative appointment. Ron Klain, who was just appointed to be the quote-unquote Ebola czar.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay, this is a guy that has absolutely zero medical background.
Yeah.
And in fact, Paul, since he was appointed, he's missed three crucial Ebola meetings in the White House. The president, in fact, okay, couldn't wait to get out of town so he could go play golf and spend 4.5 hours playing golf with a bunch of sports buddies of his, and then run off and do a bunch of campaigning for candidates. And by the way, the only place the president is able to go are in safe Democratic places like Maryland and in Illinois.
Every president in their second term off your elections, that's the case. And that's why Democrats are running as their own in congressional races and in Senate races, because this is typical historically. But let me address the whole Ebola situation. The head of the CDC basically testified in front of Congress and said, you know what, Congress, if you had funded us instead of cut us back in the early 2000s like you did for research on Ebola, we very well could have a cure for Ebola right now. But because of that funding cuts that took place by Republicans, that's why we are in the situation we are right now. And, you know, some of this has to do with actual resources and making sure government has the resources to do the job it needs to do. And the CDC should never have been cut because they are the front line against infectious diseases like this. And I don't understand why Republicans now are piling on the CDC when they were the very ones who cut them back in the early 2000s under George Bush's administration when they controlled Congress and they controlled the presidency. And they have no excuse except for, now the problem is now, even though they sowed the seeds of the problem back in the early 2000s.
Paul's anger and his defense of the goal line here is exactly why the Democrats are going to lose this
election. The Republicans say,
government is evil.
And then when the government fails because they didn't resource them properly because they think the government is evil, then they say, see, the government's dysfunctional, so we got to cut them some more.
Paul's very worked up here.
And in fact, Paul, the reason that you talk about for Ebola not being a cure by now, you say it's because that there wasn't more money given.
Right. The research wasn't there.
Okay.
All right. Let's go, Ed, to the Buckmaster Show live line. Zach has a question for Paul Eckerstrom. Go ahead, Zach.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Paul, question for you is, first let me just state that this administration politicizes everything. I mean, they will leave nothing alone and try to make political points with it. My question to you is, what works under this administration? The IRS doesn't work, the VA scandal, Secret Service, Benghazi, national parks closing, Americans are taking home
National parks closing was a direct from defunding during the early 2000s under the Bush administration. Okay.
What's working in the administration?
No, I'll tell you what's working. We avoided a Great Depression. Wow. But when President Obama took office, he avoided another Great Depression. We could have been right now still involved in a Great Depression if it hadn't been for him and for what the Democrats did early on in his administration. And, you know, that's everything. That is everything.
Do you think that's his biggest accomplishment?
Absolutely. Yeah. And he'll go down in history.
You know, Paul, that's typical of somebody who works for the government. The government's doing pretty good. In fact, last year, revenues to the government were up by about 6.5%. The federal government's doing very, very well. Revenues are up, okay? Government employees are getting raises. Guys who work in the private sector.
If we were in a Great Depression, they would
be. Guys who work in the private sector, guys who own companies, haven't got raises in a long time.
All right, let's go back to the live line, Ed. I think we have Don has a comment or question. Go ahead, Don.
Yes. I need to make a follow-up on the previous call. You know, I've heard twice now that you refer to the cutting that was done in the 2000s. And the cutting in the 2000s has created all the problem today. If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, I think we've had a Democratic president for the last 6 years who controlled Congress when he first came in. And if those cuts way back in the 2000s were so bizarre and so out of line, why weren't they corrected?
Okay.
The bottom line is that, according to you, the Ekstrom, the Democrats are not responsible for anything that has happened that is negative.
Right.
Okay. That's the bottom line of your party.
Let me a little bit of history lesson here, and this is actually what happened. I mean, when Barack Obama came into office, we were in a horrible recession that was verging on a Great Depression. And when the Democrats controlled the Congress, it was only for the first 2 years of his administration. He could not restore those cuts because we were already in such a recession situation. And revenues were way, way, way down in terms of tax revenues. And so there's no way we could have restored those cuts. And really what we needed to do was stem the tide of the recession so we didn't go in a Great Depression. So the stimulus spending was needed to re-energize jobs. The funding for CDC took a backseat to all of that. And by the time we got out of the recession, there was no way to restore that funding because the House of Representatives was controlled by the Republicans and they would not go there.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Paul Ekstrom, Bruce Ash, thanks to our callers as well. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Moe's, for all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Check out Moe's, Fort Lowell and Dodge. We'll be right back with our candidate interview series on the Monday edition of Buckmaster.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is exactly 12:36 on this Monday afternoon, a beautiful Monday here in Tucson. We continue now with our candidate interview series, trying to give our listeners as many of the candidates, to let them hear from as many of the candidates for statewide and legislative districts here in Southern Arizona. We'll be focusing now on District 2. There are three candidates running for two seats. There are two incumbents, both Democrats, Damian Klinko and Rosanna Gabaldon, and the Republican challenger is Chris Ackerley. This district covers Southside neighborhoods east of Nogales Highway, South Tucson, Davis Monthan Air Force Base, Sahorita, Green Valley, Aravaca, and Santa Cruz County. Rosanna Gabaldon is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Rosanna, how are you?
Fine. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well. What is at the top of your agenda as you push forward to be reelected? You were first elected to the State House in 2012. You're a former Sahorita Town Council member. What's at the top of your agenda?
Well, I have three legislative priorities that I'm going to be focusing on. The first is early childhood development and public education. I think they go hand in hand. The second is economic development. See how we can home grow our workforce through the public education and early childhood development, and also water sustainability. Those are my three top legislative priorities.
What about the Nogales area? Do you feel that area has been not given the attention perhaps it deserves?
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up, Bill. One of the things that is, I serve on the on the citizens for advisory board through the International Boundary and Water Commission. And one of the things that we as an advisory board have been focusing on is the Nogales International Outfall Interceptor, and along with the Nogales Wash. And one of the things that I'm focusing on is trying to get some funding so that the Nogales Wash can get rehabilitated, get repaired. One of the things that IBWC is focusing right now on is actually rehabilitating the IOI. And it's important that they be repaired at the same time, because I think that if they just, if one is repaired and not the other, it's just not going to solve the situation that's down there. So that's one of the focus I'm having on Santa Cruz County. That is a very important issue, and I'm working along with City of Nogales, Santa Cruz County, and some other federal agencies, so that I may, and the state of Arizona, so that I may find some funding for the Nogales Wash.
What would it take to address that properly, in your opinion?
Well, open communication, being able to work along with IBWC. Right now, they have a study, and the study is being has the funding for it. And one of the things is I'm participating in those conversations regarding the study, but I think more focus needs to be had in people and people knowing more about the project and how important it is, everyone that's downstream. I don't know if you know, but our water runs from the south to the north, and the sewer water that's coming from Nogales, Sonora into the wastewater treatment plant in Nogales, it's called the Nogales International Wastewater Treatment Facility, there that is cleaned and then recharged back in the Santa Cruz River. So again, everyone that is downstream from that is, you know, is kind of looked at, and if that the wash and the IOI is not rehabilitated at the same time, I think there's going to be some problems in the long run.
Yeah, the Santa Cruz River are flowing from south to north, one of the few rivers,
yes,
actually in the world that has,
yes,
that kind of configuration.
So yes, Bill, you're right.
Yeah, so it's kind of unique to this area, certainly. Now, what about this big issue, the gorilla in the room, so to speak, about the state, whether or not the state should pay $330 million owed to public schools. Should the lawmakers go into the rainy day fund, Rosanna, to deal with this?
Absolutely. You know, this was something that the voters said, this is what we want. You know, inflation, our public schools are suffering at this time because they did not get that extra funding. So one of the things was that we do, as a state legislator, we need to address that. It is a priority. Our schools need this funding. Public education is an investment. And yes, I believe we should go into the rainy day fund and pay that.
What about the Common Core? Where do you stand on that? Would you want the districts to be able to opt out of that or no?
I support Common Core, and the reason why I support Common Core is it's a standard that schools can look at so that we can be competitive not only in the United States but around the world. And so if a child goes to school in a state that has Common Core, they can go to another school and not be behind because the standards are there and the lessons are there. And I've spoken to teachers, and they like the Common Core. But one of the challenges that we have as the legislators, how are we going to test? How are we going to base what's coming out of this Common Core? So that's a conversation that's going to be had, I think, in this upcoming session.
Now, how would you characterize, Rosanna, your first 2 years, full two-year term in the House, and why do you want voters, why do you feel they should re-elect you?
Well, one of the things is I was part of voting for the expansion of Medicaid. I thought that was very important for the state of Arizona. Now people can go to doctors and get the medical care that they need. Also, we as legislators, and I was part of that, is I voted for the new Department of Child Safety. I think that's very important that we protect our most vulnerable. Another thing is that I actually presented, or I actually had legislation to address putting more funding towards what's called the WARF, which is money that goes into orphan areas that are contaminated. I think it's very important. It's very important that we keep the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, Arizona Department of Water Resources, and that's something I advocated for my first 2 years. Also, I sit on board, so I want to be part of the community and have been part of the community, and I'm improving my communication and negotiating skills, and so I bring that common sense approach that I think is making a difference in preparing me to continue to be a good public servant.
All right, Rosanna, we're going to let you go, but we would like to give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about you and direct them to your website. So go ahead. What is the website, please?
My website is votegabaldon.com. That's VOTEGABALDON.com. And my email address is electgabaldon@AOL.com. I'm very open to my constituents and the voters out there. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me, and I ask for your vote.
Thank you very much, Rosanna, for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Thank you very much. 12:44 now on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, as we give our listeners an opportunity to hear from as many of the candidates for the legislative offices here in Southern Arizona. We're going to talk some more about Common Core with Dr. Robert Hendricks, longtime educator. Hear why he believes Common Core has become such a lightning rod in this election. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Have you been taking your car to the Wicked Witch of the West for service?
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little fuel injection system, too!
Hi, this is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works, and despite rumors to the contrary, I am not
the great and powerful Wizard of Oz
of car repair. I do, however, enjoy performing miraculous recoveries on your family car or your exotic Jaguar, Mercedes, or Toyota. We specialize in Honda, Kia, Buick, Ford, Chevy, and even your grandmother's 1939 Packard. Call Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
There's no place like Perfection Auto Works. There's no place like Perfection Auto Works.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Back to the Buckmaster Show, 1249, experience the solitude of the Gila National Wilderness. Actually, it was the first wilderness in the United States with that designation of National Wilderness. Silver City and Grant County offer so much to do in the outdoors. And then the indoors, you've got all the art galleries in downtown historic Silver City. It's only 3 hours east of Tucson to a completely different experience. Check out southwestnewmexico.org, and they have the full list of things to do and places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park. Again, it's southwestnewmexico.org. We are joined now by the Buckmaster Show education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, associate professor emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he's the former head of the Department of Education Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctoral level. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. There's even a school named after Dr. Hendricks in Flowing Wells. After all, he was named top school superintendent in 1989. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks.
Why is this Common Core such a lightning rod this time around?
Well, I think it's really interesting to me because you can find criticism of the Common Core on both sides of the aisle. The more liberal stance is it represents more testing. Mm-hmm. And so people of that opinion say, well, we don't want more regulation. We don't want more testing assessment. On the more conservative side, people are saying, well, this really violates the rights of states because states should be able to determine what their own standards are, which, in fact, is what exists right now. If one goes to Alabama, one will find a certain set of standards. Texas has a different set of standards. California is different. And Arizona is different. So essentially, we do not have one single yardstick to assess student learning and performance in this country.
We are unusual in most modernized countries have a national standard, don't they?
They do. And that makes it difficult to compare. Mm-hmm. When we look, for example, at mathematics performance, we don't really have a national metric. We have a series of state metrics, which are really, really quite different. And so it almost suggests that if a student is going to go through school in this country, they should stay in the same state, because if they go to a different state, they're going to be held to a different standard. And that just doesn't make sense in the mobile society that we live in.
When did you first hear about Common Core?
Well, the development of it really was beginning 6-7 years ago, and a lot of the national alphabet groups, the NEA, the AFT, the National Governors Conference, the chief school executive, and many experts began to look at standards, and they focused on the two that really they thought would be the easiest to tackle first, and that was mathematics and language arts. We still have science and social studies looming in the background. I'm going to predict that we're going to have even more controversy when we get to what are the social studies standards.
And we continue to lag behind in math, and that nationwide, we compared to other countries, math is, we still don't really have a full court press on math.
We don't. And really, the standards, when they were real, when they were rewritten, have been repurposed in the fact that we're now looking at the application of math, not simply the rote memorization. And so that's a shift. That's a shift for teachers. That's a different level expectation. And we've already seen in two states, New York and Kentucky, who have piloted the Common Core standards, the first pilot tests, that scores were lower. Mm-hmm. And that typically happens whenever you pilot, whenever you reconfigure a test, but the scores are lower. So that's another reason why some people are suggesting, well, why do we want to create a standard that makes us look worse than we already look? So there's this whole states' rights thing. There's the whole idea of rigor of testing. Are the standards too difficult? Repurposing them, is that going to give us a whole different look at things that people aren't going to understand? And we know that some parents, in looking at the examples of test questions, have been scratching their heads because it's not a fill-in-the-blank kind of answer. It's a process. It's a thinking process. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough haul.
So the Common Core standards were adopted by the governor and the superintendent of public instruction, but the name was changed.
We changed the name in this state. The legislature changed the name through the Board of Education, yeah. And it's called Arizona Career and College Ready Standards. Same thing, same thing. Different label, but really basically the same thing. And it's been interesting listening to the two candidates mm-hmm. because really, even though the state superintendent of public instruction has kind of a bully pulpit on these matters, they can't really decide that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really the state board, which they only serve as one member.
Yeah, people don't understand that they do not have that kind of power to say, well, suddenly, I mean, even if the Republican candidate, Diane Douglas, who her number one issue has been do away with Common Core, and then even if she were to be elected, she could not, after being sworn in, say, that's it, Common Core is over. You have to take this before, I believe it's a 12-member Board of Education, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Bill, this horse has already left the barn. For uh-huh. example, the ACT tests
yeah.
are now correlated with Common Core. The new SAT in 2015 is going to be correlated with Common Core. The textbooks, the national curriculum in which the textbooks are based on, is going to be Common Core. We have 43 states that have adopted Common Core. So it's really, you know, you can tinker around the edges, but I hesitate to say this about most things, but I think this is something that's here to stay.
And what if you were to do away with Common Core, I assume that each state has to have some standards, don't they?
You would, but
maybe there are some states that do not have educational standards.
No, they all have standards.
Okay.
They all have standards. The question is, do we want national standards or do we want our own standards? And my argument would be, why, for the sake of pride, would you want to disadvantage children in your state by not being part of what is a national adopted movement of standardization? And I think standardization in this case is a good thing because we have one gauge, we have one measure of being able to determine how successful our students are being.
And standardization, we've heard that the teachers, some teachers complain, don't they, about teaching the standards?
They do, but most teachers that I've talked to are not complaining about the standards. What mm-hmm. they're complaining about is what seems to me, what seems to them is excessive testing and pressure on a single test metric. And I think if there's anything that we might do as a state is take a look at, you know, the state report card, which is now based on 96% of the results of the tests. That can be changed. You can look at other elements to say these things are also measures of school success. So let's use the test, but let's not make it the one item that measures the success or failure of a school.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about Common Core, which has really been, again, a big campaign issue, not just for the superintendent of public instruction, but state lawmakers are asked typically whether they're in favor of it as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's right down the line. Bob Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us. We'll see you in November.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. And all the employees here at KVOI appreciate it as well. Coming up this afternoon, another one of our local talk shows for Tucson at 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw. Then it's we've got 3 hours of local talk from 6 to 9 here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Chris and Joe doing it from 6 to 8, and then Christy Simone with the Daily Double from 8 to 9. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Ed Alexander, we wish you a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.